third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. During this time that we're in, Crown Royal and us here at ESPN 102.5 The Game would like to raise a toast to our heroes who are serving on the front lines to protect our communities. Thank you for your sacrifice. You're the definition of true royalty. For those at home, stay at home for these heroes, because nothing says generosity like staying home to protect others when you can. Join us at 4 p.m. each weekday as we raise a toast to our heroes. Connect with us on social media or text us at 615-737-1025, 737-1025, and tell us about your heroes. Cheers, Crown Royal. You must be 21 years or older to toast. Please drink responsibly. Now, brought up Charles Barkley. He joined Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter after Episode 6 on Sunday night, and this was the conversation that's going to lead us into our conversation.
I've been in this game since 1984, the game of fame or NBA.
Right.
Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods are the two greatest athletes I've ever seen in my life. I've been around a lot of movie stars. I've been around a lot of great athletes. Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods are the only two guys I've ever been around where people actually lose their mind when they see them or they're in the room with them. And I can always say this, hey, it was an honor and a privilege to play against Michael. It was an honor and a privilege to play against watch Tiger in his prime. But those are the only two guys. As much as I love Magic and Bird and Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic, and in football, you got Tom Brady, who's the greatest football player ever. When you're around Michael and Tiger, there's a different animal. You realize, like, I'm around something that's crazy and special.
There you go. Charles Barkley with Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter on Sunday night. So he said greatest athletes, but then he was going on to talk about their persona and how big they were to the sports world, their particular sport, but more importantly, the sports world. Everywhere they went, they were the attraction. So do you guys, one, let's just start with one, do you agree with that?
I think you have to put
Federer. In our lifetime.
I think you have to put Federer up there.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. He says athlete. And there's a difference sometimes in being the best football player, basketball player, and then you also have to be a hell of an athlete. And for what he said of from just athletic skill, I agree with him. Now, Federer should definitely be in the conversation. I think you're right, Willie. But, yeah, I can't really argue with those two.
You have to think bigger than that. This discussion is not about just it's not about just their abilities on their playing surface. It's about the whole thing that encompasses them. It's not Federer's fault, but just tennis is just nowhere near the levels of golf, the NBA. He brought up Tom Brady, the NFL. I mean, it's miles away.
In the U.S. it is, not in the world. I think tennis around the world
is right here, up there. Though. We're talking about here.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought we were talking about best athletes.
Well, I don't really want to get into the world because I don't go over to Europe and follow around their soccer stars. I mean, I'm sure everybody, you can tell me about that, but I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know how big they are across the way. So I think we have to keep the conversation for here.
Well, it's not like we don't follow tennis at the major events. I mean, Wimbledon is a pretty widely covered thing in the U.S. Open.
Are you putting tennis in the same breath of any of those sports? I mean, come on.
As an athlete, as a world-class athlete, yeah.
The whole it's more than just what their accomplishments are. The bigger picture, when Roger Federer is the same walking down Times Square as Michael Jordan in his heyday and Tiger Woods in his heyday?
No. But that's not the question. The greatest athletes of our lifetime, I think Federer is in the discussion.
I want the discussion to be more about the bigger picture, how the magnitude of their name and their presence. It's not about just their accomplishments. I'm not I'm not really wanting to drive this conversation to resumes. It's a more about what, you know, Tiger Woods consumed the sports world in his heyday. Michael Jordan consumed the sports world in his heyday. No disrespect to Roger Federer. He does not consume the sports world. It's nothing against him. His accomplishments are great. He is the greatest of all time, you could say, in his sport. But he doesn't consume the sports world. Is there anybody else that you can think of?
Listen, do I need to bring Roman Josi on here to dispute this?
I would say in Switzerland he can consume the sports world. Yes.
But are you asking just strictly their athletic ability? Because I took what Chuck said is he's just talking about athletes. He's not necessarily talking about can they consume the sports world.
I didn't take it as
you're talking about
the
whole package.
It was just athlete. I was. Yeah. I took it as.
So how are you asking the questions?
By the way, I didn't take it the way you are. I took it that Charles was talking about what I'm talking about. This is the way I took it. It's not about their accomplishments.
People lose their minds in their
people
presence.
Lose their minds
yeah,
in their presence.
That was the quote.
It's about the magnitude of them. It's not about their resume.
All right. So where would you put Gretzky on that list?
I don't know. I don't know. I'd love to know.
People in the discussion.
People were there.
Hockey's just not as popular as
it's right.
As basketball, or hasn't been. But I mean, Gretzky is a larger than life figure.
When your nickname is the Great One, I mean, obviously you have to be at least in a discussion, right? I think, unfortunately, because of what we're talking about, yes, he's going to get penalized because, especially even back then, hockey was not anywhere near to the level, right? So
it's like soccer in this country, you know, is not to the level of other things.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
I here's one that came to mind, and tell me what you, even though I have said he is one, and it has been a very controversial topic that I've brought this up, and Willie knows, many, many times over the years. I feel like Mike Tyson has been more overrated than anything in his career. But does Mike Tyson in his heyday fit this category?
Well, that's just it. In his heyday, I think for a brief period, yeah, but not for nearly the length of Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan.
True.
Right? It was a pretty small,
what was his
four
window,
years?
Would you say?
86 to 90.
I was thinking a handful, more like 5 years.
Yeah, probably 5 years, but that's not even close to Woods and Michael Jordan or Gretzky. Or Federer.
But for those 5 years, you would have to admit he's absolutely could hold his own.
There was a rise. So what year was Buster Douglas? 90? 1990?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's when it all started to crash down. And so it ascended for a while. It wasn't like the first day he was at that level. So it probably took him a year or two. So I would say safely 3 or 4 years, Tyson was that, you know, right up there with anybody. I still think Jordan was much more larger than life than Tyson during that time.
Is this a fair question to ask when asking about the criteria for this conversation? If the person walks into a room and everybody immediately knows who they are and stops, I don't think you can say about Gretzky, even though Gretzky is larger than life in hockey.
I don't know. I think Gretzky, I mean, hosting Saturday Night Live and stuff. This is a reference that I would say. Dan Le Batard used to be on our show for a period of time. He would talk about if the Oprah crowd is interested in your story, right? If you go on the Oprah story, then that's a big deal, right? So Tiger had the Oprah crowd watching. Michael Jordan definitely had the Oprah crowd,
mm-hmm.
right? I think Gretzky is in that discussion. Where would you put Brady?
Well, I was getting to Brady and Lance Armstrong.
Kobe
the two
and LeBron.
I were going to throw out.
Kobe and LeBron need to be in this conversation, don't they?
I think another gauge is, and you see this in the documentary, what do they talk about when Jordan showed up to arenas? Who else showed up to arenas? They, by the way, they did that game at the Georgia Dome. 65,000 people see the Hawks and the Bulls. Who was sitting courtside?
Oh, yeah,
famous
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
Famous
oh, yeah.
people.
Celebrities.
Celebrities. Right? People that we're talking about, they draw celebrities.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods drew
celebrities. Gretzky had that. When he went to L.A., he definitely had that. Of course, the fact that it was the Kings was the reason, because the proximity to all of the celebrities. But he did get that crowd.
When
sure.
Mike Tyson was fighting a fight in Las Vegas, who were the first three rows packed with? Celebrities.
No question. No question. He's in that discussion, but just for a smaller window of time.
Yes. So where's Tom Brady in all of that?
I think Tom Brady is ranked higher than Tyson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because he's done it for a longer period of time.
Well, and he's just the yeah. I mean, I the high level, and he's married to a supermodel. I mean, he's got all of that, plus the celebrity thing. You know,
are you willing to put Lance Armstrong in this discussion?
Well, not today.
I'm not talking about today.
One time, yeah.
I'm not talking about today.
At one time.
We're talking about
the
in their heyday.
Crowd. Yeah, it was all built on, we know what it was built on. Not everything was on the up and up, but yeah, he had that.
Yeah, but even when he was cycling, though, you can't tell. I mean, look. Let's
right,
not
but
be phony
if you're gonna,
about
if you're going to denounce, if you're going to put Federer not in the same breath, then how can you put a cyclist on there?
Because we watched the Tour de France, I did, and I've never watched one since he stopped cycling. I don't want this to come off disrespectful, because I know it's going to keep coming. The more I say
if Federer were American,
to the television screen to watch Roger Federer play. I just don't. I mean, it's no disrespect
to
him.
If he were American, do you think it would be different?
No.
No?
No.
See, I think for a while, John.
Maybe so.
I think John McEnroe
maybe so.
Had a little bit of that for a while because he was American. I think if Federer were an American, he probably would have gotten way more.
Yeah, okay,
fame.
That's probably fair. That's probably fair. Let's go to Eric. Eric's on hold. What do you got?
Hey, so yeah, I had two actually. I was just thinking while I was my short term, of course, but I was thinking Bo Jackson. I mean, I just remembered Gretzky, Jordan. They were all in the Bo Jackson commercials, doing the Bo knows this, Bo knows that.
What was Bo's window? What would we say his window was?
5-year window,
I was going to say, yeah, maybe 4 years, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is one of the all-time shames is that injury.
The Wheaties boxes,
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was huge. He was huge. Baseball, football.
Yes.
He ruled it. I can remember the commercials where he was wearing hockey skates. Bo knows hockey.
Yeah.
He didn't know anything about hockey, but he was there, And then the
so
other
what do you guys
– was
well, – Hold on there, because okay. I do want to talk about for just a second. So what do you guys make of Bo knows? What do you make of Bo Jackson?
Well, it was just starting to get very interesting when he had the catastrophic injury in the playoff game. Was it a playoff game? It was the game against the Bengals.
The Bengals.
It was that crazy tackle right on the sideline.
Yeah. I think it was he had the flash. I mean it was really amazing what was happening with him. But I think unfortunately we'll never know where that would have gone.
Okay, what else you got, Eric?
And then the second one I had, and maybe I think that same era, I just remember the commercials, was Andre Agassi.
Mm.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's interesting. That is an interesting one. All right, we'll talk about
that. He had a lot more.
Thank
you,
Eric.
Appreciate
the call.
Early.
Yeah, no worries.
He had a lot of hype early and had not really backed it up for a while with the big titles until he kind of matured a little bit and got out of the flashiness. But yeah, that's interesting. I mean, Agassi has nowhere near, like Sampras had more titles than Agassi, but most people thought Sampras was kind of dull, right? He didn't have the personality in the,
no, he was,
but Andre was
out Agassi
there.
Did.
Mr. Dull. Yep.
Yeah. But he would, he had the upper hand on Agassi for a good while. Agassi, ended up getting his share, but neither one of them, well, I don't know about neither one of them, but Federer, I think, eclipsed both of them in terms of achievement. But probably not the persona in America. If we're just talking about USA, all of these I think are worthy. But I don't know if anybody has topped
Serena.
Charles Barkley's.
No, it's
about Tiger
be hard.
And Jordan. I still think they're probably the two top ones, right?
That's why I was saying to you guys, because it's hard to disagree with that. Marquise, they said if we're going to bring up tennis, like how do we not bring up Serena Williams? And that's fair.
No question.
But it's the same principle, and it's not fair to her her accomplishments, her resume stacks up against anybody. She's going to go down as the greatest women's tennis player ever. But it's just about the sport. It's not her fault, but just, you know, you can't – she's just not going to be at that level because of who we're talking about. I mean, I don't know if anybody's at their level. What we're talking about, Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan. I think there's some that come close. I mean, Tom Brady comes close. Is Peyton Manning in there?
Not above Brady, I don't think.
The reason I say that is because Peyton has built a brand also kind of off to the side outside of football.
Yeah. He puts himself SNL out there in the limelight a little bit more with the commercials
and the SNL and
Saturday Night Live, the TV shows, yeah.
We have a vote on the text line. Somebody said Ken Griffey Jr.
Well, Ken Griffey Jr. I don't think it was ever
not quite to that level.
Not to
he
that level,
there.
But
not
boy,
to that level.
He's close.
Derek Jeter. Who would you say, Jeter or Griffey?
I mean, we have to say Bonds if we're going to say Lance Armstrong before the steroid stuff. You got to say Barry Bonds, right?
No, not before steroids. No.
He was never beloved. He just wasn't a beloved guy like Jordan.
Mark McGwire?
I don't think. No, not to that level.
Sosa?
I don't think. People love Sosa, but it was, again, a shorter window. Right? I still am thinking Jeter if you had to pick a baseball guy. Or you go back to like somebody like Johnny Bench, right? For if you want to go back a little further. Like he was doing hee-haw. He was doing like he had a national – he did a lot of national commercials. You know, he was kind of larger than life for a while during those 70s years. Had he played in New York and not Cincinnati, it might have been even bigger.
Yeah.
But he had a big following. But I still think we're having a hard time topping Jordan and
– Got a vote for Shaq.
Clearly, okay, let's hold off. Clearly, we've got a lot of people on the way in, so we've
struck
a chord.
Yeah.
We've got loaded lines. We'll come back and we'll find out.
What about Muhammad Ali?
Like, would you stop it? I told you stop.
Sorry.
Stop it. No more. We're going to ruin it. We'll come back. We'll get your calls and keep throwing out more names here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
I've been in this game since 1984, the game of fame or NBA.
Right.
Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods are the two greatest athletes I've ever seen in my life. I've been around a lot of movie stars. I've been around a lot of great athletes. Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods are the only two guys I've ever been around where people actually lose their mind when they see them or they're in the room with them. And I can always say this, hey, it was an honor and a privilege to play against Michael. It was an honor and a privilege to play against watch Tiger in his prime. But those are the only two guys. As much as I love Magic and Bird and Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic, and in football, you got Tom Brady, who's the greatest football player ever. When you're around Michael and Tiger, there's a different animal. You realize, like, I'm around something that's crazy and special.
There you go. Charles Barkley, after episode 6 Sunday night on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt after The Last Dance. Talking about athletes, and the key part to me is where people lose their mind over them. What the magnitude of certain athletes. How would you answer? Look, to each his own. Everybody can have their own opinion. We've thrown out a lot, and I still think there are still others that are worthy of at least a discussion to maybe be a part of that list. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Justin. Justin, what about you?
Gosh, man, I'm going to have to say it. I think Serena's ahead of Michael Jordan. I mean, she is, as far as star power, crazy star power, as far as athleticism, she had a baby and then still competed months later. I mean, the woman is amazing. As far as athletics, I don't think anybody can compete with Serena.
Well, certainly her resume speaks for itself. Yes, she's going to go down as the greatest in her sport, for sure. But to put her, when it comes to, you know, being out there and Serena walking around to Michael Jordan in his heyday, I just – I think that is that's an impossible task to think that she is in the same hemisphere as Michael Jordan. I mean, is she wildly popular? Yes. Is she great at what she does? No doubt. Best ever. I'd say she's the GOAT when it comes to women's tennis. But when it comes to fame and popularity, I don't know. Guys, I'm having a hard time thinking that she's more popular or famous than Michael Jordan in his heyday.
I don't think she's more popular than him. I think she's in this conversation, but I think Jordan surpasses her. But she's definitely, I mean, definitely worth a mention. Marquise brought her up first because she does. She brings people out. She's gotten more eyes on her sport because of her ability and her athleticism. She does all the commercials and, you know, the different events too. But to say that you're going to put her above Jordan, I can't agree with that.
That's a tough one. Let's go to Bud. Bud, what about you?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Every athlete you've mentioned has been well worthy. But the one you're leaving out that had more impact for 7 decades was Arnold Palmer. Hmm. They all wanted to play golf with Arnold. The Senior Tour was developed because of Arnold Palmer. He founded the Golf Channel. There was never a letter of bad press written about him. And every athlete that or sports fan knows who Arnold Palmer is.
So would you put him above Nicklaus?
Absolutely. As far as impact, yes.
Really?
Hmm. Yes.
Yeah, see, I think you've led us to two that definitely belong on the list. Arnold Palmer and Jack
Arnie
Nicklaus.
Had an army. What did Nicklaus have?
The Nicklaus
Nothing.
Was pretty darn popular
for a long time. Arnie had an army. Nicklaus won 18 majors and was runner-up in 18 majors. I get that. Mm-hmm. He's probably, as it stands right now, the greatest golfer of all time when you get to that. But you're talking about impact mm-hmm. and what they brought to their not only their sports but others. Everybody, like I said, everybody wanted to play golf with Arnie. The Senior Tour was Arnie.
Interesting.
I mean, and he did it for 7 decades.
Yeah. Good stuff, Bud. Thanks for the call. I think you led us down a new path. I like it. We never mentioned Palmer or Nicklaus, and they belong on the list.
And probably Charles Barkley, when he's saying what he's saying, is not thinking about that era. It's probably a little bit before his time. We can't relate as much to that era, but there's no question. Like when we saw Arnold Palmer at, say, the senior golf championships that would go on in Nashville for a while at Opryland.
That was a big deal.
He came a couple times, and you could see that army, right? It still was a big deal when he was there. They followed him all over the course.
Yep.
Well, and that's another thing, too. You bring up eras, and some of the guys, you know, even though Jordan played in the 90s and Tiger was his heyday was the early 2000s, I mean, there are more ways to be visible now than there were back then, too. So that's another thing that I think has to be taken into consideration.
Let's go to Thomas. Thomas, what do you think?
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You might have stole my answer, but you still won't stop me. Muhammad Ali, man, was one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time. And he still puts, like, shudders in your body whenever you think about trying to meet a cat like that. So I'm going to go Muhammad Ali for the win.
Thomas, thank you for the call. And I think, well, that's why I was like, no, because that was one. I started writing down names, and there's no way you could have this discussion without leaving, you know, without saying Ali. There's no way.
I wonder where Charles Barkley would put Ali because, you know, maybe Charles is only thinking from 84 on. He used 84 as a reference. Even though it's not like he was born in 84. Like he's talking about since he has been in the limelight, I guess, an NBA player. So maybe he's not counting people like Ali, but I think Ali's got to be in there. He might be where I would put the next guy. He might be a guy that's even with, because it was just such a worldwide thing Ali. I'm just old enough to catch the
end of it. Anybody bigger in the boxing world than Ali?
Well, in just
no.
Well, I know. I'm asking, but though just so boxing, we know he's number one. And then, yeah, as you
and
said,
boxing
he was
a much bigger deal back then.
Right. Yes. And globally, he, you know, the impact. So, yeah, I don't think he was not in the sweet spot of any of us, just because of the age difference. But there's no way you could have this discussion and not bring up Muhammad Ali.
I think here's another way to look at it, and I don't know. Does Maddox know who Michael Jordan is? Did he know who Michael Jordan was before the talk of The Last Dance?
No.
Okay. I mean, they're you know, and this could be an outlier, but, like, I knew who Muhammad Ali was at a young age. I mean, I obviously missed his heyday, but I knew who he was, and I think that could be a piece of this criteria of, you know, how generational are these people? Does he know who Tiger Woods is?
I don't know. I honestly shouldn't even have said that about Michael Jordan. I don't think I've ever talked to him about either one, so I don't know.
I mean, you see what I'm saying?
I just asked him the other day who his favorite sports player was, any favorite sports player, and he told me Freddie Freeman, and I've never heard him ever say that before in his life. I didn't even know knew who Freddie Freeman was.
Attaboy. I'm proud of him.
I did. I literally had that conversation with him Sunday. I did a private workout, and I said, who's your favorite athlete? Athlete. I didn't say baseball player. I said, who's your favorite athlete? And the one kid said LeBron.
Yeah.
And Maddox said Freddie Freeman. And I was like, really? I'd never heard him say the words Freddie Freeman ever. I didn't even know he knew Freddie Freeman, even though we've taken him to Braves games. So, you know, I probably shouldn't say I don't know. I don't know the answer to whether he knows.
Do you
those.
See why I'm asking that? Because you have these people that aren't just one generation. They stretch across different generations, even well after they're done playing. Michael Jordan is one of those guys. Tiger Woods, even though he's still playing, will be one of those guys. Muhammad Ali is one of those guys. So I think that's a part of this conversation too.
I buy that. I think that's true.
Let's go to Joe. Joe, what do you think?
What's going on, guys? I love the show. That's on everything. I think you guys hit the nail on the head with, you know, they left their mark on generation.
Let's put Joe on hold, and we'll see if we can get a better connection. We'll come back to him. Let's go to Mike. Mike, what do you think?
Hello, guys. Well, before I throw a name out, I want to tell Willie. Willie, I know exactly what I was doing when the announcement came out about Jordan. I was working for my dad, Larry Smith, with the Sounds, and it was a crazy day. We were answering phone calls. People were just calling in, just ordering season tickets, thinking he might play for the Sounds. Of course, he wound up playing Double A, and he played against the Express who we had here. But that was a crazy day,
man. And Mike, take me back to had he decided to play the next year, and it looked like he was going to after the first year. It's not like he announced, hey, I'm done with baseball. It looked like he was going to play a second season, and he theoretically would have been on the Sounds, right, that second year.
Well, he was. We think he would have. Of course, you know, my dad never thought he even deserved to be playing Double A ball, but
right.
But he worked hard at it. You know, Dad had some quotes in the paper today. He never would have made the big league, but he worked his butt off at it. I'm going to throw out Jose Canseco. When he first came out, it first 40-40 guy, he was huge. Of course, it turned out he cheated, but he was big time.
What do you guys think of that, Jose Canseco?
I think for a brief window, not sustained, as Mike said, it's like what could have been, right, if it was all legit. And he kind of had some ups and downs, right? He didn't sustain it. Remember, the A's traded him not too long after he got into the spotlight. They sort of had enough with him, you know, for a while. But, yeah, when he first came up, he rocketed up there.
I kind of feel like McGuire was bigger than him.
Yeah.
It depends on when, right? That Mike referenced the 40-40.
Whenever. It doesn't 1988. Matter. Give me their best windows. I would say McGuire, in my opinion, was
well, the 80,
a bigger
the 88
window.
World Series, which was recently on MLB's Greatest Games, right? Because that's the Kirk Gibson game. But if you watch that broadcast, it was way more about Canseco than McGuire, because Canseco that year was the first ever to have 40 homers, 40 steals. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. McGuire had the big rookie year the year before, but it kind of fallen off a little bit. He wasn't as hyped up, even though they were both the Bash brothers. But that A's team for, you know, 3 years was a big spotlight team. It was pretty even, I would say. Don't you think? It was Canseco-McGuire almost considered together.
Mm-hmm. Let me throw out one that we have not mentioned yet and get your thoughts on. What about Tim Tebow?
Tim Tebow. Hmm. Short time.
But never achieved at the level that Jordan or Tiger, right? He didn't climb the mountain at the highest level.
Didn't say,
he certainly
didn't
on the college
level. I don't think Jordan or Tiger, but one, we're talking about his levels were different than their levels in college. Like, his levels were bigger, don't you think? I would say even Jordan at North – Tim Tebow was bigger. Agreed?
Yeah, I agree with that.
In college, Tim Tebow was a movement. I mean, come on. Tim Tebow was about as big as it gets at Florida and coming out of Florida with two national championships. He was, I mean, we all remember Tebowing, right? I mean, when you get something named after you that's on social media, that's pretty darn big. You're a pretty big deal. I mean, he wasn't – everybody – well, not everybody, but most people knew that he wasn't going to be great in the NFL, or it was he was probably not going to translate to the NFL, but still look how much attention Tim Tebow got in a short amount of time in the NFL.
I think if he had played another position, he could have, but he wanted to be a quarterback, so that's what he stuck with. But it's a good point. I definitely think it's one to consider. I'm not going to put him at the same level, but at the time, he certainly was in the conversation.
Baseball, I mean, just everywhere, sold out games, everything Tim Tebow was a part of, it was a big deal.
It was a big deal, but he didn't achieve at the level that the others achieved in. So he's missing part of the package, although I agree with you, it was a larger than life kind of thing.
Well, he did in college. He did achieve that in college, and that's when he was at the height of it, right? I mean, that's when his star was pretty darn bright for about – there was about a four-year window. Tim Tebow was
– but our perspective is Southeast. I don't know if he had the same stardom in New York or Chicago or places where college football isn't quite as big. Would you buy that? Or Boston? You know, there's some places where – you know, down here, college football is huge compared to what it is in New York or Boston or Chicago.
I think Tim Tebow translated everywhere. Think about it. If he didn't translate well up in the Northeast, then when he landed in New York, do you remember those press conferences with the Jets?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I remember the media that just followed even when they played in other places when he was there.
Seemed like he translated pretty well in New York to me.
Well, he didn't. Not on the field.
No. No, his NFL career, obviously. I mean, his resume is short, and it's not impressive. Not that impressive. But I'm just talking about his accomplishments in college, and his star power was at least worthy of a discussion. Of course, you can't make the case that he was at the level of Woods or Jordan or some of the other names we mentioned, but I just thought I would bring that up. We've got more people on hold. We'll get more.
There's one on the text line, too.
Okay. We'll do that on the other side to wrap up the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next. To lend a little perspective on the passing of Don Shula, we're going to talk to Bill Curry coming up at 1 o'clock. We're looking forward to that. But right now, we're talking about sports icons. Kind of have to have it all. They have to have a resume that reflects their star power and just what they're like when they go off the playing surface. How big of a crowd do they draw? How much attention is drawn to them? One of those gauges today is kind of social media, right? We didn't have that for most of the people that we're talking about on the list. But today, you could look at followers on Instagram or Twitter or what have you and realize the star power that they have. And what's interesting is, I know, Chase, you brought it up, and Ryan Porth was, we were all kind of doing a group text, but we've taken, you know, a lot of calls and getting some a lot of feedback on this, and yet nobody's really bringing up LeBron. There's not like floods of people saying LeBron. I wonder why. Where is he in this discussion?
I mean, I think he's right in the middle of it, isn't he? And I know Ryan.
Well, didn't you find it interesting that Charles Barkley did not mention LeBron?
Yes,
I thought he would have thrown him in there as at least an honorable mention, and I don't think he did he?
No.
Nope.
And that was shocking to me. I mean, you know, one thing Ryan said in the text, you know, he's bringing Space Jam back, all the followers he has on Twitter. LeBron probably is in this group. Now that I really think about it, and we sit here and have this discussion, I believe he has to be. And I know that maybe you can factor in social media and that the times are different, but I mean, what is the most overblown, biggest June radio argument in sports? What is it?
That's pretty dumb.
LeBron or Jordan?
Yeah.
LeBron or Jordan. Okay. That right there, to me makes the argument that LeBron should be in this conversation, because we have that argument all the time.
I think for all the people that say LeBron, they might want to watch The Last Dance.
Just saying.
I think what also probably hurts him, just my gut feeling on Charles Barkley's response, is probably he, and this is just my opinion, obviously I have no proof of this, he probably doesn't respect his body of work as much because he's bounced around. That probably knocks him down a notch in Barkley's mind. You know, Barkley's those old school, you know, all these guys
Barkley
that we, these old school guys, he didn't bounce around to the very end with the Suns. Spent bulk of his career in Philadelphia and then ended up with the Suns at the end. But those guys, you know, they did it. We all know the greats. They basically did it with – I think the moving around has probably – some older school guys probably don't appreciate them as much. That counts against them. It's a strike against them. It's kind of the, you know, the movement we've seen in the NBA for a while, let's build the super team.
And that's just my guess. That's a different era. I mean, that's, you know, you didn't have that back then. You met the Rock. He ended with the Rockets because he went to the championship.
Yeah, that's Suns, and then that's right. He ended up with the Rockets.
Yeah, but he played. I mean, to your point, he played for three teams. So I mean, you know, he whatever. But I don't know if that mattered as much then, but now I could totally see that because the, you know, and it's more than, hey, I want to play with my buddies. No, it's just you want to form a super team. So, yeah, I think that could factor in because Chuck's an old school guy.
Willie, if memory serves me correct, I'm not sure Charles wanted out of Philadelphia. I think, wasn't he fed up with management? He got tired. He just kind of felt like they weren't doing the necessary moves to put them, you know, to make them a powerhouse every year. I think he get sideways with management or ownership? Just didn't feel like they were all in on building championship teams year after year.
That's a good question. I'm racking my brain. I don't remember a lot of details. I know he definitely went through some tough times with his. He had some stuff off the court that in Philadelphia was, you know, obviously jumped on. But yeah, I think there was probably something to that as well. But and let's also, when he went to Houston, they had some excellent teams. They had some teams that were right there. They won the back-to-back titles right before he got there. So it was him, Akeem, and Drexler still there. They had the wacky uniforms, which I still don't understand to this day. But they lost to the Jazz in one of those finals, or else he would have been in the Western Finals, or else he would have been back there playing against Jordan again in the final.
Yeah, yeah. Which would have been with three different teams.
Real quick, somebody, Joe on the text line, and I'm surprised that I haven't brought this up yet because I'd be the one to do it, but he said Dale Earnhardt. Is Dale Earnhardt a part of this conversation? It's a different. It's different because NASCAR is a very niche sport. It has its fan base,
I would put him in the Federer.
But you know who, okay. Right? So you know who he is, but maybe doesn't have the. And honestly, Dale Jr. could be a better example.
He was before the explosion of the sport.
Yeah.
He was right as the explosion was happening, actually, unfortunately.
Well, yeah.
That's when the explosion was happening, I mean, right? 2000?
2001 is when he died.
Well, I'm saying right at 2000 is about when the thing started real. I mean, the sport really started taking off.
And quite frankly, his death I said his death halted a lot of it.
I don't know if it halted it. I think it helped. Honestly, I thought it helped it because it brought a lot of attention to the sport. A lot.
Yes and no. I think the late 90s is when it really started, but you know, they started going to different tracks in the early 2000s and trying to expand their reach. So yeah, that there's some truth to that, but because of all the safety innovations that they made as a result of his death, it hurt the racing. So you can try and it was stuff they needed to do, but you can tie it all together too.
Let's go to Corey. Corey, what do you think?
I would say Mary Lou Retton. I remember her when I was like 6 or 7, and it was just because every time you turned on the TV, I mean, she's all you saw, and she did a lot. Because you got to remember, it was during the Cold War, you know, during that period where you got under your desk, you know, we were fighting against Russia. We're not fighting, but, you know, I just think she did a lot for the country at the time.
That's interesting.
Not like George.
She was all over the place. She was on every other commercial for sure.
There's no doubt about that.
She was not Jordan or Tiger, but she did a lot.
Her star power was pretty big. There's no doubt. In the 80s, she was on. Yep. Thank you. Appreciate the call. That's one I had not thought of.
Yeah, there were some people from that 84 Olympics where obviously a lot of the communist countries didn't come, and the U.S. had so much success. I think of Carl Lewis and Edwin Moses and some of those people who became household names, but probably none more so than Mary Lou Retton.
Look, in all seriousness, Corey is really hit on something. I mean, because, I mean, she was on stamps. I mean, she was on Wheaties boxes. I mean, she started then doing television shows, I think in the early 90s.
Sure.
Mary Lou Retton was everywhere. For a good decade, right? Her star was massive for a decade. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. It's still hard to compare that to Jordan and Tiger, though.
Yeah. But I like the thinking. I like the outside-the-box thinking by Corey.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's worthy of bringing up, for sure. It's
Bicycle Boy.
Slightly different category, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, Bicycle Boy, what do you got?
Hey, fellas, I jumped in late. I don't know if this one's been brought up, but I got this one and an off-the-wall one. What about Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah, we talked about him early on. There's no doubt that he's in the conversation. As we said, you know, the time period that he played, hockey was not as popular as it is today. And just the sport compared to the magnitude of, you know, what we're talking about, NBA and golf, unfortunately, you know, but he's in the discussion.
Yeah,
there's no
got
doubt.
It. Here's one, and this will be interesting for you guys because we're all hockey fans. While I was sitting around staying home, I watched this movie called The Rocket. It's about Rocket Richard, Henri Richard. Rocket Richard played for the Montreal Canadiens back in the late 50s and early 60s. I'd love to hear Crispy talk about him. But this guy, this was back when hockey players, I mean, men were men. And it's fascinating. It's a hard one to watch because it's mostly in French or French-Canadian. But fascinating to watch the old footage, and it's kind of a documentary. There's old footage in there, but the NHL suspended him his final year so that he couldn't play the final games of the season and the playoffs. The city of Montreal literally rioted. They were burning mattresses in the street. But fascinating film, and I'd love to hear Crispy talk about Henri Richard.
Wow, that's good stuff. Thank you, Bicycle Boy. We had a great conversation with Crispy last week on the show. Man, would have loved to been armed with that information to bring that up to him and see how he answered it. But that's interesting.
Yeah, we had the last game that we did before they paused the season, you guys remember, was in Montreal.
Yep.
And the Pocket Rocket, right, Maurice Richard, his brother, had just passed away. And so there was a lot of discussion about both of the Richard brothers. I mean, it is hallowed ground up there. When you walk in and you start talking about that franchise and those decades gone by, it's been a while since they won the Cup, 1993. But, you know, they're the Yankees. They're the Celtics. You know, they had the incredible tradition and winning for decades there. So that's a category all to it. So I don't know if you could pick one Canadian out of that group. There were so many of them.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Really appreciate all the participation with this subject matter. We will come back. Don Shula died at age 90. We're going to talk to Bill Curry. He certainly knows a lot about Don Shula, and we'll get his perspective to start the final hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.